You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mutsi, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. How you doing, BJ?
Oh, beautiful. Only terrific, Mo. Only terrific on a Tuesday. And, you know, we're winding down the season, Mo, here, as you know. And it's a lot of things to discuss.
You know, yesterday we spoke about, you know, the state of the NBA and how the media is presenting the game and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's the risk of running down the usual Lakers and Warriors and all those usual topics. So today I wanted to start by talking about a team that I don't think they ever talk about on the mainstream media, but it's a team that I know that you are uniquely qualified to speak on because you probably watch more of this team than anyone else I know. And that is the first team eliminated from playoff contention this season, and it's the Utah Jazz.
Yes.
Because the Utah Jazz are in a terrible form. We're just going to be honest about it. They're 15-50. They've lost their last six. Yes. However, in and amongst all of the losing, there are some very promising signs. I don't know if you saw the stat that I sent you last night, that their 29th pick from the draft, Isaiah Collier, is now only 69 assists away from breaking John Stockton's record of most assists in a single season by a rookie for the Utah Jazz. There are 18 assists, 18 games left, and Collier needs to average just under 4 assists per game to break that record. And the way that he's been playing, he's absolutely going to break that record. So, you know, that's a pretty impressive record to break, given the stature that John Stockton holds at the point guard position and the amount of assists he put up throughout his career. And the other player that I wanted to talk about was Kyle Filipowski, a second round pick for the Utah Jazz, who over the month of March so far is averaging 20 points a game to go along with 9 rebounds. And, you know, BJ, I know you keep a very close eye on the Jazz games. And these are two of their draft picks. They, in fact, had a lottery pick who, you know, I've not seen too much of. This is their late first round pick and a second round pick, and Danny Ainge has managed to strike gold once again. So let's talk a little bit about the Utah Jazz here.
Yes, we should. And it's been a tough go around for them this year. It's been no doubt about it. You know what they won, 14-15 games, is that what they won? 15 games. However, there is a, you know, some bright lights in there. And one of them happens to be Isaiah Collier. Now, we've seen Danny figure this out for your Boston Celtics. I mean, he drafted Jason Tatum. He drafted Jaylen Brown.
And for context, when he drafted Jason Tatum, the Celtics had the number one pick in the draft that year. And they traded back to the third spot in order to gain a future first round pick as well, which was a big risk move. But Danny Ainge was so sure that Jason Tatum was the player he wanted that he could trust Philadelphia to take Markelle Fultz and the Lakers to take Lonzo Ball. And also when he drafted Jaylen Brown, I remember the fans being very unhappy. I think people wanted him to take Chris Dunn instead of Jaylen Brown. And both picks were at the time perceived as high risk plays. And both of them have worked out pretty well. So Danny seems to know a thing or two about the NBA draft.
Well, yes. You know, you're going to, you know, you won't, and you hear me say this, Mo, when you do the draft. You know, you're going to get some of them right, but you haven't been through the draft until you've missed. And right now, you know, everyone, you know, you think a player is going to do well, and for whatever reason, it doesn't work out, for whatever the reason may be. In this particular case, with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, he got it right. And he got it right in a very big way. You know, but what Danny has really done to me is he's always got that coaching situation right. Now, when you start looking at these, you know, drafts and what have you, I mean, think about some of his hires. Doc Rivers. He got Brad Stevens. Now this kid, Will Royal
is the
Hardy.
assistant to Ime Udoka.
Yes. Then, guess who he hired? Guess who he also interviewed before Will Hardy?
Joe Mazzulla.
Joe Mazzulla. Okay. Now, Danny has got that right. Now, that's to me. Now, that's not an accident. Now, he is the whole coaching and building of a culture, he gets right. Now, I happen to have followed and are still following the Utah Jazz because of Isaiah Kiyer. Danny got that right. He got that right. But he also got that right in that draft. The players that he's drafted, he's got his staff right. And when you look at the foundation and the pillars he's put in place there, he's got everything in place. And more importantly, he is positioned to make a move in free agency if he desires, in the draft if he desires. His players are going to improve from within because they have young players and they've committed to this. He can go in any direction at any given moment and figure out wherever that good player, right? He's going to draft well. He's going to go through free agency. He can do it through a trade because he has accumulated enough pieces to move around. And he has players who fit what he's looking to do, which is they're always in the gym, meaning that they have a work ethic, so forth and so on. So Danny has positioned this beautifully. And that's a skill. This is not an accident now. And we have to give Danny Ainge, Justin Zanuck, and the Utah Jazz credit. And going back to Isaiah Kiyer, I mean, he has been, you know, it's not like he came in, you know, from the first day and showed this. When you watch them play, he's getting better. And the kid, Filipowski as well, is getting better and better and better as they go along this process. So pretty soon, Mo, we're going to be talking about the Utah Jazz, just like we're talking about the Boston Celtics, because he's going to continue to build, and he can go and he can play in any. During the draft, you hear Danny Ainge. During trade deadline, you hear the Utah Jazz. Free agency, they can do that as well. So I have to give them a lot of credit. I respect.
I don't know many free agents queuing up to sign for the Utah Jazz, though.
Well, but free agency, as we traditionally know it, that is correct. But here's what Danny is really, really excellent at. His free agency, and this is my opinion now. His free agency is the following. He can identify a player that's already under contract, and that becomes his free agent signing. Just like with John Collins, for instance.
So a trade.
Yes, a trade or what have you. He is creative enough to say, well, okay, maybe you can't get a free agent like a Lakers franchise, for instance, or a Boston Celtics franchise.
The Celtics never got free agents. Yeah. And the biggest free agents they ever got were Al Horford and Gordon Hayward.
Maybe they are not positioned. You could argue that. Maybe they are not positioned to get a Kevin Durant or somebody like that if they were to go. However, but because of their management of the cap, they can acquire any player. They're flexible enough to acquire any player at any given time as they become available. So a lot of teams now are taking this, and this is something that we should point out here. A lot of teams now are looking at the trade deadline as free agency. How do you acquire a player who's already under contract? And it may not be a contract that works for the previous team, but it works for you, provided you have the flexibility to navigate that. So teams are taking that approach now. You're seeing that more often than you're seeing the traditional, you know, free agency that you would normally see where guys would sign big contracts or make big moves, big headlines in July when we normally see it. So, you know, you have to give these guys credit when you see it. So the Utah Jazz, Isaiah Kiyer in particular, you see what they're doing. And he has been a bright spot for this organization and what he's able to do. And I would venture to say he will probably be an all rookie selection, which is incredible, knowing, you know, the path and seeing it where he was drafted. And if you were to redo this draft, Mo, you know, so, you know, if you were to redo this draft, I think it's pretty safe to say, you know, he would probably go a lot sooner in the draft.
We talk a lot about on this show, you talk a lot about executives and coaches and teachers of the game not quite being what they once were. What's the difference between Danny Ainge and a lot of the other executives out there in the league that he has this ability to time after time identify talent that perhaps other people don't see in the same way? Because you know Danny, you've known him for a long time.
Yeah.
What's his special ability to be able to find these guys?
Well, I would venture to say, you know, Mo, you ever hear people say, I don't know what it is about such and such and such and such, but I just know it when I see it.
Yeah.
Every time I'm with Danny, I just know when I see another person who understands winning. Just very simple. Danny has been, think about the people Danny Ainge has worked around. First of all, he was with Red Auerbach. Think about this. Danny went to BYU. He won. He comes in the league. He's playing with Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Larry Bird, and Dennis Johnson. Think about that. He's playing alongside four Hall of Famers and arguably one of the greatest executives of all time.
Do you know the craziest part that people don't realize? He actually played baseball for 3 years before deciding that he wanted to play in the NBA.
Well, I'm old enough to know that, to have seen that, right? He played with Cedric Maxwell. Danny has to know, and you have to have learned something along this path. And that's what he knows. He knows one thing, winning. Once you win, it affects you. Just like losing has an effect, winning also has an effect. Danny understands winning basketball players. There are good basketball players, and then there are winning basketball players. For instance, Al Horford is a winning basketball player. You just know it when you see it. Kevon Looney, for instance, he's a winning basketball player. Okay, there are players that you know it when you see it. They may not be appreciated because they can get stats and do all those things, but there are players who are winning basketball players, and those things don't show up in the stats. That's what Danny understands. I mean, this is not an accident. And he knows that, and he understands that. And once you are around that, you can't help but to respect that. And that's your he's obsessed with winning. So you say, well, look at what they're doing now. No, he knows what he has to do, and he's not afraid to do it.
And speaking of that kind of winning. As a player, not only did he play on those Celtics teams that won championships with some of the greatest players of all time, he then got traded to the Kings, but then he made his way to the Portland Trailblazers, took them to the NBA Finals. Then
Think about
he
it.
went to the Phoenix Suns, took them to the NBA Finals. Unfortunately, both times he ended up against a certain Bulls team featuring a certain Mr. Armstrong. But you know, maybe more people would realize this if you guys weren't there ruining his NBA Finals every time.
No, he I you just know it when you see it. I remember competing against him. He was a phenomenal competitor, very competitive. I mean, he had a competitive spirit about him. You know, Danny poke his nose in there. You know, every time I see him, I always joke. I was like, who haven't you had a fight with in the NBA? He would always get in some type of skirmish. He's friends with players, but he'll fight you. He'll fight you right now. Yeah, I mean,
When he was a coach, he had a fight with Rob Ori.
That's just you know, that's just his personality. But you have to respect it, and I think in the next year or two, you're gonna start seeing things trend for them. That's gonna show up in the win column for this organization. And you know, I talk about roster construction. You know, Danny's right up there with the best of them, if not the best in the league. He just gets it. You just know it. He has a confidence about himself. It's not a quiet confidence, but he has a confidence about himself. He talks a lot of trash. He's the best trash talker and executive in the NBA for sure. And you got to respect it. As they say, he doesn't miss. The guy just doesn't miss. He doesn't miss. And every year, it's like playing chess with him in the draft. And I give him and I give them credit for what they do, how they go about their business. And I've always had much respect for him wherever he's been in the NBA. But now that he has all these draft picks, I get to talk to him more. And I learn a lot in just my conversations with him, because he shoots you straight. And that probably goes back for our relationship, but he's got it figured out. And every year he puts on a masterclass during the draft. He really does. He's figured out a thing or two about this business. And I would imagine it makes him very proud every time he looks at the Celtics, because think about that. I mean, he's not there, but everything he's done is there. And yeah. He did it. I mean, that's that, and I mean, and he is a Celtic. Yeah. So,
and what I like most is the toughness, right? And the ability to identify that toughness in a player like a Jaylen Brown, for example. But right. Also, toughness isn't always loud and outwardly facing. A guy like Al Horford or a guy like a Jason Tatum, they're not known for being tough. But I've never seen anyone punk those guys. Like, you don't want to poke the bear. You see what happens when Giannis tried to talk a little trash to Al Horford. He comes down, knocks him over, and dunks on him. Next play. Like, these guys are all tough, and that's what makes a great team. And I think the culture that he set in Boston, and I think there are certain superstars and certain franchises that should take notes. Because I was thinking about this yesterday. When you have your star players who do the little things, diving on the loose balls, guarding on every possession, it sets the tone and the expectation for the entire team. And that's something that I think a lot of star players should really take note of. And I think that's something that Danny is great at identifying, because I think that's what separates the Celtics from a lot of other teams out there. But speaking of, because you know, BJ, we're talking about the Utah Jazz. We might only get the 200 Utah Jazz fans in the world watching.
Oh, no, they have a massive... Don't underestimate. They have a massive audience.
They know as well that I just like trolling. They know. Don't worry.
Yes. Okay.
shout out to Andy in our Discord, our resident Utah Jazz fan. I know he's going to be mad when he hears me say that. But speaking of all those draft picks and assets and financial flexibility, the news came out yesterday that the Phoenix Suns are searching for 3 first-round picks and a young player in any hypothetical Kevin Durant trade this offseason. So, you know, the asking price that they have for Kevin Durant, I imagine, is not going to be that high when the summer comes around. They could have maybe got that at a trade deadline. I don't think that would be that high when the summer comes around. But, we saw Luka Doncic get traded for 1 first-round pick. So who knows what happens in the NBA now. But given by their current standards, there are teams like Houston, San Antonio, even the OKC Thunder could get involved in this Kevin Durant sweepstake. And also the Utah Jazz could be a team. I don't know how Kevin would feel about going to the Jazz, but they could be a team who have the assets and the flexibility to acquire a salary and give up those draft picks without giving up too much. But do you have any thoughts on where you think Kevin Durant will end up this summer?
Yeah, well, I do have thoughts about this. I do have thoughts because You know, when you are in this business, you want to talk from a, you know, just say, hey, you just want to say what you see. But then you, as you know, Mo, some of these players you are, you know, you're fans of. I'm a fan of Kevin Durant, and I really have admired him. I've had an opportunity to watch him play since high school, and to think, I remember watching him play in high school, and now I'm watching him play. What is he, 36 or something now? And I can still remember him as this young, thin kid, and friends of mine, and we were all there, and all the people from DC was like, "Hey, we got one." I was like, "Who you got? What you got?" You know, they're talking. I could vividly remember, and this long, lanky kid comes out, and it was Kevin Durant, and I was like, "Yeah, you got one." When I first saw him, I thought he was the second version of George Gervin, a Detroit legend. And watching him play, I mean, the kid just has a gift. You know, some players have talent. He has a gift. He can flat out just score the basketball. Kevin is going to be 50 years old, 60 years old, still just getting buckets. That's who he's gifted as a scorer. I hope this time for Kevin Durant's peace of mind that he chooses the right coach. Forget the right organization, that he chooses the right coach. I
Oh, I
really
think
and
that
I'm
though.
in yeah, whoever that may be. And
I think that though.
the reason being is because all great players, they always thrive when they are around greatness. And I hope he chooses the right situation. I hope he chooses a situation where he can thrive. And one of the situations is not getting a lot of, they're not talking about a lot. This is just now, this is my personal opinion. Just for him, for work, the little bit I know about Kevin Durant, the little bit that I do know about him, I hope he chooses a place like the Miami Heat.
See, I was gonna say the Houston Rockets.
I the Houston Rockets would be terrific because Ime is there, and you know how I feel about Ime. But Ime has young players, and Kevin Durant is not young. He is, you know, he's at a different stage of his career. But the Miami Heat, they provide something that's different. And I would hope that he chooses a place that he has, first of all, he'll have a supporting cast around him, and that he has a great coach. I really do. Eric Spoelstra, check. Bam, check. And now you have a culture that will fit, in my opinion, his personality. He just wants to hoop. All the other stuff, Kevin Durant just hoops, gets 30, and we know he's on social media. That's it. That's what he does.
He plays a lot of Call of
And
Duty, listens to his music, and he plays basketball. He's living the dream.
yes. So he's simple in that way, and which is phenomenal. Like, he loves basketball. Let someone else worry about all the other stuff. He's just gonna come up, and you can put this with a pen. He's gonna get somewhere between 27 and 30 every night. He's going to hoop. Bam, they're Olympians together. Tyler Hero now is to an all-star. You have a Hall of Fame executive who understands this, and that he's in a place that's going to work with him and his talent, and get where they want to get. So I personally, but this is just my opinion now, I would love to see him in Miami. I
Yeah, I
really
think the only
would.
trouble with that is the asking price of picks,
Yeah,
plus
whatever. Yeah.
it's not the picks, it's more so the promising young player who the Phoenix Suns want
It,
in return.
it, it, I, well, but I know the mentality, and this is, I have an unfair advantage. I will say this. Yes, there are always problems with every trade, right? Oh, we can't do it. However, There's always a way. There's always a way. I don't know how it will happen. I don't know, I don't have the books in front of me. But I just hope he goes to a place that respects him, where he's at in his career, but more importantly, they actually have the capability to coach a great player and to work with a great player, and they value what he's doing. I just think for him, that would be a terrific place for him. I will get a chance to see him play earlier than, out here on the West Coast. I would love for him to be back East. He's an East Coast guy. He loves hip hop music. I think that would be great for him, and it'd be a great space for him because he just hoops. He just wants to play basketball, and that's just my personal opinion. I know that was, I don't even know that that's a team that he would even consider. I don't know any of that. I haven't spoken to anyone
I would
about
like the
it.
Grizzlies to try and find a way to get him as well.
Kevin is he's.
I just don't want to see him back in the Eastern Conference because I love Kevin Durant and I don't want to see him getting whooped by Tatum in the playoffs again. So I want him to stay out West.
Yeah, I would love for him to go out east. I want him to come east
He said,
because
is this going to be the start of your Detroit Pistons propaganda? Is he the missing piece? Now that's it. That's it. That sounds like a joke, but it's a very interesting premise.
listen. That's the fan in me. Now, the fan in me would say that.
Well,
You
I
know,
said
there's
to
different
Scott before
parts.
on the show that the Pistons should go and get Devin Booker.
You know, I am hesitant with that. And here's why. It's because this team is currently developing. And when you get a great player like a Devin Booker, you're going to stunt the growth of somebody.
It will be stunting the growth of Jaden Ivey, who will be playing in a Phoenix jersey instead.
Yeah, you're going to stunt the growth, right? When you, first of all, remember now, Cade is still evolving. Cade needs that ball in his hand. And I don't know how good he can be. I mean, he's taking a jump.
Oh, he could be great.
That's okay. So we got to let him be great. Let's let him continue to figure out who he is and who he's going to become. This kid Thompson is continuing to figure out who he is. Dern is still continuing. Devin Booker, that's 25 a night. You don't get him to all of a sudden come in and take a step back because of the other players are evolving. So I would, if getting Devin Booker to me, somebody's not going to evolve because he's too good of a player. And he's done it. I mean, he's carried a team to the NBA Finals. I mean, he's that level of a talent. And he plays on both ends of the court. So I would be very hesitant because the Pistons, I don't know. Like this kid Thompson, he's got to play more. And he's got to be a starter. Okay. And I happen to think he is a incredible two guard. That's what I think he is. I think he is a two guard. Kevin Durant Kevin Durant, Dern, Thompson, Cade. Hey, that's pretty good.
This is what I'm saying.
That's pretty good. Now that's pretty good. However, I don't think that's the timeline for KD. I know the city would love
But the
KD.
Miami Heat, that damn sure aren't on that timeline because they're nowhere near could be. They have, I think, the most losses this season when leading by 15 points or more or something. Like they're really struggling. The Pistons right now are better than the Miami Heat. So timeline to compete. I'd
But you
rather play
gotta
for the Pistons.
that's fine. Again, it's more than just saying look at the players that we have. Bam, KD. That to me is the core. Then you have Tyler Hero, and you could sprinkle the other things. And Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, they know how to do this. Kevin Durant, I I would love the Detroit Pistons. I'm not talking against it. However, I just think that fits his personality, where he's at. And you know, and you can build it around him. I don't know, you know, about the, you know, how that would work there in Detroit. They've had a terrific team, but I'm always weary when you start mixing players in different timelines. KD, been there, done that. He does. It's Cade's team now. See, that's it's Cade's team, and then all of a sudden, when people go to the Detroit Pistons, you're not going to say it's Cade's team. See, I don't think that. These are the things I don't think work. That's Cade's team. That's Durant's team. That's Beef Stew. These guys now, their personality is all over this. KD comes and all of a sudden, that shifts. That's why if he goes to Miami, because he's too good. Whether he wants that attention or not, he's going to garnish that attention. And then I think the Miami Heat are positioned to accept a personality like that than other franchises. And they understand that. You know, it's hard. The hardest thing, Mo, is to coach a great player. That's the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing is to be able to work with that, because the great player forces you to be great. You can't just be mediocre and have Kevin Durant on your team, because that's going to come with the responsibility. You look at what's going on there now in Phoenix. You know, what is he averaging right now, Mo? He's averaging somewhere near 30 right now. And why would you want to get rid of a guy, or why would you even consider trading a guy who's getting you almost 30 points a night? Like,
yeah, he's got 27 a game right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's just too good. He's too good. But wow, that would be big news. That would be big news in Detroit. It would be fun, but I would rather him go to a team where he's clearly the best player. All right.
He would clearly be the best player on almost every team he goes to. But
the best player.
Here, before we get out of here today, I did want to talk about the game from last night, the OKC Thunder and the Denver Nuggets, two of the most dangerous teams out west. The Nuggets become the only team this season to beat the Thunder twice. They split the season series 2 games apiece. Did that game last night give you any inclination into how the Western Conference playoff run might shape out? Because I think the Denver Nuggets last night played the Thunder better than I've seen anyone play the Thunder so far this season.
Well, Mo, you brought me to the playoffs much earlier than I want to have these conversations.
We are 3 weeks away.
Okay. So I'm going to say this to the OKC fans. I'm going to say this. I know the rest of the league understands this. You're witnessing a player in Mr. Jokic that he is a player that's unstoppable. He understands the game at now an elite level that I would argue no one else in the league now can play at. He's playing chess now. He can score if he would like. He can pass if he would like. He can rebound if he can like. He can be a facilitator. He can do whatever he wants. He understands the game now. He's truly mastered the game of basketball. What you saw yesterday was a player and a team that has the capability to adjust from game to game. You can play Nikola Jokic as a facilitator. He gets a triple-double. You lose by a large margin. You make the adjustment one day later and ask him to be a scorer. You win by.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, listen to what just happened here. When I watch the game, what is the style of play that the Oklahoma City thrive under? Okay? They play with a flow. If you play with pace and space, they are arguably the best team in the league that plays at a pace that you just can't play at. They have Shea, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, and they Isaiah Joe, and they play at a flow. They just flow. Everyone's moving the ball. If they get stuck in the shot clock situation, they have a great player who's capable of playing with a short shot clock, create space, da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, here is the thing that that you have to adjust with when you play against Jokic. Jokic is a bully when he wants to be a bully. I've said this at the beginning of the season. I'm going to say it now. And I didn't want to say this until the playoffs, but since you asked, let's get it. When Jokic begins to play like a big man, which he is capable, he puts on many different hats during the course of a game. There's no one on their team that can match his physicality. That's going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
He is a big man. He isn't a guy that's tall. That's the difference. Chet Holmgren is tall. Jokic is a big man. When Jokic wants to play like a big man and will not settle for three-point shots like he does it, you know, it's kind of like he's just playing around the game. Let me see if my jumper works tonight. And if that's working, then he gives you the fake and he gives you the twist and he starts passing. And he's like an entertainer. He's just kind of, he's like a genius and he's out there just, let me experiment during the course of the game. Oh, wait a minute. We're down eight. Let me get the game back under control. And then he just kind of, he's a genius. But yesterday, he made an effort to punish and play like a big. That's why I love him. You can't play small ball versus him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play small ball versus him. And they have no one on their team that can play like him or can contain him. With the exception, I'm assuming, that's why they got Isaiah Hartenstein. That was one of their moves.
Yeah.
Okay. You cannot play small ball versus Jokic, in case anyone hasn't figured that out. He's the only one that can play this brand of basketball at this particular time in the NBA. He can be a bully if he wants. He can play finesse if he wants. He can play team basketball if he wants. He can be an anchor on the offensive end and just score if he wants. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can be a point guard if he wants. He can play five-out offense. He could play four out, one in if he wants. He could play a three-man game on the weak side. He can do every aspect of the game. No other team is built to do what you just saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is concerning if I am the OKC Thunder. And here's why it's concerning. Because Jokic just showed you, we could do this three more times.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Gordon didn't even play.
Mm-hmm.
We could do this three more times, and we did it on a back-to-back game in your building. Now, I'm really concerned. That game concerned me. Now, what the Nuggets know is they can't play that style of basketball and beat them. If you're flowing, OKC, the Thunder win. But when they play big boy basketball, the Thunder can't do that. And now they have to go to the drawing board. And they know this now. This isn't me. They'll probably have the best record in the league or in the Western Conference, and they'll be the favorite. But now the Denver Nuggets, they know something. They know something now, okay? We got a little pre-playoffs is what we just saw here. And out of these two games, they split the games 1-1, but I didn't like the way that they lost in game two. Because OKC, the Nuggets changed up their flow. They changed up their rhythm. Mo, it's like, in music, you put on a different beat and you say, oh.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the beat and one MC can flow to that beat, but couldn't flow to this beat. And they said, oh.
Get off the mic then, my boy.
Yes, yes. And that's what I saw. Now, let's see when they play again or when they meet again. But right now, Jokic, he's playing you know, Ma, he that's why you can't bet against him. He can play a style that the other people can't play. And you know me, Mo, I tell you this, and you know it, and our listeners know this. You know, the big guys, I love the big guys because they were the last players in this era, the last position in this era to learn how to play this pace and space. And now they're dominating this because he is the most dominant player from start to finish. Because you're gonna have to beat him. Because he can figure out, you know, he can figure out how to do it. So, yeah, I'd be very concerned right now if I were the Thunder about Mr. Jokic, because they're gonna have to get bigger bodies. You need a Naz Reid coming off your bench. Okay? Naz Reid last year, along with
Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert.
Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, man, I had a brain lock there.
It's so good.
Those three players were needed just to contain Jokic. If you don't have that level of size and that level of physicality, that level of shot blocking, I don't think you have a chance. And he could have easily won that series in spite of, you know, all those guys. And then those guys played terrific. So we'll see. But that was a really, really, it was interesting to see. You got a preview before the playoffs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the playoffs are rolling around soon, and we're going to be here every day. So make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And BJ and I will be back tomorrow with more from the Hoop Genius podcast. Until then, get buckets.